Let's go to Psalm chapter 40 tonight, if you would. Psalm 40, we're going to start with verses 1 through 3. Talking tonight about our new song. Psalm chapter 40, verse 1 says, I waited patiently for the Lord, and he inclined unto me and heard my cry. He brought me up also out of an horrible pit, out of the miry clay, and set my feet upon a rock, and established my goings. And he hath put a new song in my mouth, even praise unto our God. Many shall see it and fear, and shall trust in the Lord. Let's pray. Father, we thank you tonight again for your word. We thank you for the privilege of being here together. Thank you for the privilege we have of opening your word without persecution. Father, we just pray for those that are in countries where persecution is very vivid, very real to them. I pray that you would strengthen those believers. Father, help us to take every opportunity we have here to be together and to be around your word, to be encouraging one another. And tonight, as we look in your word and talk about the song that you've put in our hearts, pray you would encourage us, you would teach us the things you want us to learn. Pray that you would guide my thoughts, guide my speech. I pray that you would be honored and glorified through this time. In Jesus' name, amen. Music is a very powerful means of communication. It's a part of every one of our lives. We hear it in the grocery store, the restaurant, doctor's office. As we watch TV, we hear it in the background. We listen to it in our homes. We listen to it in our vehicles. And you can pick up your phone. And I've got 100 and some songs on my phone that I can just, when I'm taking a shower, I can turn my phone on and listen to music when I'm taking a shower. But that's the convenience of music. Music is everywhere. Where did music originate? One passage in Job chapter 38, verses 4 through 7, God is talking to Job. He says, where wast thou when I laid the foundations of the earth? Declare if thou hast understanding. Who hath laid the measures thereof, if thou knowest? Or who hath stretched the line upon it, whereupon the foundation thereof fashioned? Or who laid the cornerstone thereof? When the morning stars sang together, and all the sons of God shouted for joy. When God answered Job, he refers to the morning stars singing. It is believed that this is referring to the angelic host of heaven singing at the praise of the creation of God. Psalm 19:1 says, the heavens declare the glory of God. Psalm 148:3 talks about the sun, the moon, and the stars praising God. And if you think about all that, you think about how God made creation. Why? To praise him, to worship him, to have that fellowship with him. As we read these verses, we also see that God created the, we also see other verses that talk about how God created the world to praise him. Look at Colossians chapter 1. We're going to be jumping to several references tonight. I'll read some of them, but some of them I'll ask you to turn to. Colossians chapter 1, verse 16. This really gives us the reason why God created the world. It says, for by him were all things created that are in heaven and that are in earth, visible and invisible, whether they be thrones or dominions or principalities or powers. All things were created by him and what? For him. And he is before all things. And by him all things consist. And he is the head of the body of the church, who is the beginning, the firstborn from the dead, that in all things he might have the preeminence. So he created all things for himself. Why? So that he might have the preeminence. And that is not a selfish motive. That is because he alone is worthy of that because of what he has done and who he is. First of all, we see tonight the source of music. So where did music come from? Well, I believe it was part of God's creation, God's design. It's just one way that all of creation praises him. If you ever sat in the woods and you just listen to the sounds. We were walking the other night, and we went to the High Trestle Trail Bridge the other night. We're walking through the woods to catch up to the paved trail, the bike trail, and you hear the sounds of the crickets. You hear the sounds of the frogs. You hear the sounds, and Emily says, "What's that?" I says, "That's the sounds of nature. That's the sounds that God has put in nature to sing praises to God. All of creation praises Him. All music is intended to praise something, and God's desire is that each of us praise Him in song." Some may say, "Well, I can't sing well." What does Psalm 100, verse 1 say? "Make a joyful oratorio." No, it says, "Make a joyful noise unto the Lord, all ye lands." God is not so concerned about the perfection of your singing as He is the heart that spawns the song. He's concerned here, because what's in here is going to bring forth a song. When you come to church and you sing the hymns and praise and worship to God, don't be concerned that your voice doesn't sound like a professional singer. There's not many of us here that does. But sing in praise to God. And realize when we sing these hymns, we're praising God. That's worship toward God. And sing from your heart. And sing with all you have. I don't care if you sing out really loud. Just sing. Why? Because that's why we sing. We sing in praise to God. Exodus chapter 15, if you turn with me there. Exodus chapter 15. This is the first recorded song in the Bible. Exodus chapter 15, verse 1 says, "Then sang Moses," and this is just after they crossed the Red Sea, "sang Moses and the children of Israel this song unto the Lord, and spake, saying, I will sing unto the Lord, for He hath triumphed gloriously. The horse and his rider hath He thrown into the sea. The Lord is my strength and song. He has become my salvation. He is my God, and I will prepare Him an habitation. My father's God, and I will exalt Him. The Lord is a man of war. The Lord is His name. Pharaoh's chariots and his host that He cast into the sea. His chosen captains also are drowned in the Red Sea. The depths have covered them. They sank into the bottom as a stone. Thy right hand, O Lord, has become glorious in power. Thy right hand, O Lord, hath dashed in pieces the enemy. In the greatness of Thine excellency thou hast overthrown them that rose up against Thee. Thou sentest forth Thy wrath, which consumed them as stubble. And with a blast of Thy nostrils, the waters were gathered together. The flood stood upright as an heap, and the depths were congealed in the heart of the sea. The enemy said, I will pursue, I will overtake, I will divide the spoil. My lust shall be satisfied upon them. I will draw my sword, my hand shall destroy them. Thou didst blow with Thy wind. The sea covered them. They sank as lead in the mighty waters. Who is like unto Thee, O Lord, among the gods? Who is like Thee, glorious in holiness, fearful in praises, doing wonderful wonders? Thou stretchest out thy right hand, the earth swallowed them. Thou in Thy mercy hast led forth the people which Thou hast redeemed. Thou hast guided them in Thy strength unto Thy holy habitation. The people shall hear and be afraid. Sorrow shall take hold on the inhabitants of Palestina. And the dukes of Edom shall be amazed. The mighty men of Moab, trembling, shall take hold upon them. All the inhabitants of Canaan shall melt away. Fear and dread shall fall upon them. By the greatness of Thine arm they shall be as still as a stone. Till Thy people pass over, O Lord, till the people pass over which Thou hast purchased. Thou shalt bring them in and plant them in the mountain of Thine inheritance, in the place, O Lord, which Thou hast made for Thee to dwell in the sanctuary, O Lord, which Thy hands have established. The Lord shall reign forever and ever. For the horse of Pharaoh went in with his chariots and with his horsemen into the sea, and the Lord brought again the waters of the sea upon them. But the children of Israel went on dry land in the midst of the sea, and so they sang this song of praise to God." Who is it directed to? To Moses? To the people for all the way. Look, we made it across the Red Sea on dry ground. No, it was all directed to God. And you read so many times in there, Lord, you've done this. Lord, you've done this. Lord, look, by thy great hand, by thy power. It's all directed to God. And as we said, music is very powerful. God intended it to be so. But I believe Lucifer took the gift of music that God gave to his creation, and he has defiled it, much like he has done to other parts of creation. Now, let's think about that. Try to think of some part of God's creation that Satan has not defiled. He's not tried to twist it for his own purposes. And that really, there's not much. He's tried to take every part of God's creation and twist it or defile it. Since Lucifer had been in the presence of God, we talked about that Wednesday night. Lucifer was in the mountain of God. He was in the very presence of God. He knew all about the music of praise to God. He knew how powerful it was. Can you imagine standing in the throne room of God as Isaiah got that picture in Isaiah chapter 6? And standing in the throne room of God and seeing his majesty and seeing his holiness and thinking, woe is me. Why? Because of the greatness of that, the being in the presence of God. See, Lucifer knew all that. He saw all that. He understood the power of music. So he's taken music and he's used it to exalt sin and the things of the world in an attempt to draw the glory away from God. We see in Revelation chapter 5 that one day that music that was intended to praise God will be restored to its rightful purpose. Revelation chapter 5, in verses 8 through 10. It says, when he had taken the book, the four beasts and 24 elders fell down before the Lamb, having every one of them harps and golden vials full of odors, which are the prayers of saints. And they sung a new song, saying, thou art worthy to take the book and to open the seals thereof, for thou hast slain and hast redeemed us to God by thy blood out of every kindred and tongue and people and nation, and hast made unto us our God kings and priests, and we shall reign on the earth. Look at chapter 15, Revelation chapter 15, verses 2 through 4. It says, I saw as it were a sea of glass mingled with fire, and them that had gotten the victory over the beast, and over his image, and over his mark, and over the number of his name, stand on the sea of glass, having the harps of gold. And they sing the song of Moses, the servant of God, and the song of the Lamb, saying, great and marvelous are thy works, Lord God Almighty. Just and true are thy ways, thou King of saints. Who shall not fear thee, O Lord, and glorify thy name? For thou only art holy. For all nations shall come and worship before thee, for thy judgments are made manifest. One day our music will be restored to its rightful purpose, and all music will glorify God once again. The source of music. What's the focus of music? What about the focus? So if God intended for music to be a way to praise him, why do we need to have a series of messages on music? Why is it important to review all this? What has happened to the gift of music that God has given to man to use to praise him? I alluded to that just a minute ago. Satan has taken that gift. He's taken music and he's defiled it to praise himself, to praise sin, and to glorify man. And the emphasis has shifted from how God wants me to use music to praise him to how I want music to praise God. How I want to use music to praise God. So what's shifted there? The focus, has it not? From how God wants me to use music to praise back to him to how I want to use music to praise God. Focus has shifted here, and that's the problem. We see that same emphasis in Genesis chapter 4 when Cain and Abel brought their offerings to the Lord. See, both of them brought it with a sincere heart. They both brought an offering to the Lord. But what was the difference? When it says that God accepted Abel's offering, but he rejected Cain's offering, what was the difference? I believe the difference was here. The difference was in the heart. We see in 1 John 3, verse 12, that it says that Cain was of that wicked one. His works were evil. Could a man walking up to Cain know that? Not necessarily. But who knew that? God knew that. And it says in Hebrews chapter 11, verse 4, that Abel offered to God and why he was righteous. Again, who was the only one that can know that? God knew that. And the Lord knows the heart of the one bringing the offering. So when the focus shifts from God to man and man chooses the offering, what's going to be the result? Man determines the type of music that he uses to praise God. So if what comes out of man is dictated by what is in the heart, then what's going to come out? In Mark chapter 7, verses 21 to 23 tells us what comes out of the heart of man naturally, if that heart is not changed. Mark chapter 7, 21 to 23. It says, For from within, out of the heart of men, proceed evil thoughts, adulteries, fornications, murders, thefts, covetousness, wickedness, deceit, lasciviousness, an evil eye, blasphemy, pride, foolishness. All these evil things come from within and defile the man. So that's what naturally comes out of man's heart. So if the shift has come from God to man and man says, now I will choose the type of music that I will use to praise God, the source is the problem and the heart of man is the problem. The Bible talks about three different types of songs. This is our third point, different types of songs. The Bible talks about different songs. It says in Psalm 69:12, it talks about the song of drunkards. In Ecclesiastes 7:5, it talks about the song of fools. Lamentations 3:14, it's the song of derision. Proverbs 25, verse 20, it talks about the song to a heavy heart. And then Isaiah 23:15-16, it talks about the song of an harlot. There's another song, Ephesians chapter 5, verse 18. It says, be not drunk with wine, wherein is excess, but be filled with the Spirit, speaking to yourselves in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody in your heart to the Lord. That's God's song. God's song. Colossians 3:16 also says something similar. It says, let the word of Christ dwell in you richly in all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing with grace in your hearts to the Lord. So we want to sing God's song. We want to have that song in our hearts. See, the music that is chosen by a person directly relates to the lifestyle they are living. And this is a principle of association. If I were to play some different types of music for you here tonight, different types of music would bring different images to your mind. Things that, worldly things if I play different types of music, maybe godly things if I play hymns. But music, all music will bring images to your mind. That's why music is so powerful. Let me read this for you. This is a true account. It says, in recent years, there was a group of believers who were isolated from mainstream Christianity over a very long period of time, the underground church in the old Soviet Union. These saints were solid Bible-believing Christians. They were often arrested for their faith and forced to make tremendous sacrifices for their faithfulness to Christ. When the isolation was eliminated, the newly liberated church in the Soviet Union faced new dilemmas. Western Christians began flooding through the open doors of Russia and carried with them a lot of contemporary Christian music. The faithful believers in Russia recognized it immediately for what it was, a mimicking of the music of the world. Petitioning these American intruders, they said, please do not bring us that music. It is destroying our young people. When these believers heard the sounds of contemporary Christian music for the first time, they clearly understood the implication of the sounds. It had a devastating effect upon a church that had been purified by the pains of persecution. There was a type of music. It was a different type of music, and they recognized it. Sacred music, or God's song, is different from all other kinds of music. You see, the world has music that is rock. It's It's blues, it's jazz, it's pop, it's folk, it's country. And some think, well, music is neutral. No, music's not neutral. Therefore, they say, well, any type of music can be used to sing praise to God. No, it really can't. Sacred music indicates that a change has taken place, and our song is different. We see that in Psalm chapter 40. He has put a new song in our hearts. In Psalm 40, verses 1 through 3, we read that. The implication here is when the psalmist was in the pit, it was an old song. It was a song of despair, a song of grief, a song of sadness. But when he was lifted out of that pit and put up on a rock, and his going was established, what does he have now? He has a new song. He has a different song. He has a song of praise to God because God has put that song in his heart. Psalm 144, verses 7 through 9. Let me share some verses with you about a new song. Psalm 144, 7 through 9. It says, send thine hand from above, rid me and deliver me out of great waters from the hand of strange children, whose mouth speaketh vanity, and their right hand is a right hand of falsehood. I will sing a new song unto thee, O God. Upon a psaltery and an instrument of 10 strings will I sing praises unto thee. You see, the old song spoke of vanity, but the new song speaks of finding contentment in God and in God alone. Go to Isaiah chapter 42. Isaiah 42, verses 8 through 11. It says, I am the Lord, that is my name, and my glory will not give to another, neither my praise to graven images. Behold, the former things are come to pass, and new things do I declare. Before they spring forth, I tell you of them. Sing unto the Lord a new song, and his praise from the end of the earth. Ye that go down to the sea and all that is therein, the isles and the inhabitants thereof, let the wilderness and the cities thereof lift up their voice. The villages that Kedar doth inhabit, let the inhabitants of the rocks sing, let them shout from the top of the mountains. We have a new song. The old song was praising graven images and praising false doctrine, but the new song sings praises to God. Psalm 33, verse 3. If you stay with me here, we've got five passages in Psalms, or four passages in Psalms I want to show you. Psalm 33, verse 3. Sing unto him a new song. Play skillfully with a loud noise. Go to chapter 96, verse 1. O sing unto the Lord a new song. Sing unto the Lord, all the earth. Look at chapter 98, verse 1. O sing unto the Lord a new song, for he hath done marvelous things. His right hand and his holy arm hath gotten him the victory. And then over to Psalm 149, verse 1. It says, praise ye the Lord. Sing unto the Lord a new song, in his praise in the congregation of saints. We read Revelation chapter 5, verse 9 a minute ago, where they sang a new song before the throne. Revelation chapter 14, verse 3. Let me read that for you. Revelation 14, verse 3. They sung, as it were, a new song before the throne and before the four beasts and the elders. And no man could learn that song but the 144,000 which were redeemed from the earth. Who sang that song? Those who were redeemed. Those who were saved out of tribulation. They were able to sing a new song. Things were different. And it's interesting, the meaning of the word new in these verses, and both in the Hebrew, in the Old Testament, and the Greek, in the New Testament, both the meaning of that word are very similar. has the idea of a newness in quality or a newness in freshness. Some other verses read to you. Let me just share those with you. Isaiah 62, verse 2. And the Gentiles shall see thy righteousness, and all kings thy glory, and thou shalt be called by a new name, which the mouth of the Lord shall name. Ezekiel 18, verse 31. Cast away from you all your transgressions, whereby ye have transgressed, and make you a new heart and a new spirit. For why will ye die, O house of Israel? Lamentations 3, 22 and 23. It is of the Lord's mercies that we are not consumed, because his compassions fail not. They are new every morning. Great is thy faithfulness. Ephesians 4, 24. That ye put on the new man, which after God is created in righteousness and true holiness. 2 Peter 3, 13. Nevertheless, we, according to his promise, look for new heavens and a new earth, wherein dwelleth righteousness. Why are those things new? Because there's a change that's taken place. It's a newness in quality. It's a newness in freshness. And we are saved. God gives us a new nature. He gives us a new heart. He gives us a new spirit. He gives us new mercies. And all these qualities reflect the nature of the new God that we worship and serve. One of the most visible features of our new life will be our new song. We have a new quality of music, one that reflects the character of God rather than the old life and our old master. Now, I was thinking about this afternoon. I don't want to offend someone, but I know this is true oftentimes of older people, and that is that they like to listen to the easy listening music of the 50s and 60s. And it's you know, makes you feel good. But really, when you think about the words to those songs and you think about the mood that it makes you, it creates, and the emotions that it brings up, are they really a new song? Are they really a new quality of song, a new freshness of song that praises God? 1 Peter 1, 14 and 15 says, as obedient children, not fashioning yourselves according to the former lusts in your ignorance, but as he which hath called you is holy, so be holy in all manner of conversation. You see, we don't want to hang on to those things of our past. We want to hang on to those things that we had before. And I think about the music that I listened to when I was a teenager. And that, interesting enough, was 40 years ago. None of that music glorified God. None of it did. I don't want to go back there. And it's hard because I go in a grocery store and I go in a restaurant and I hear those songs played again. And in the words, you know what? It's like those words are cemented in my mind because I filled my mind with those things, and I can sing right along with them all over again. And I don't want to do that. I don't want that to be the case. I want to focus on my new song. I want to focus on the change that God has made in my heart so that my focus is there. I don't want to dwell on the things of the past. And I don't want to fashion myself according to the former lusts. Robert Berglund says, if any style of music creates feelings, ideas, emotions, values, or moods that are of, by, or for the unchanged way of life, such music is out of place in the changed life experience. If there's anything that I listen to in music that brings back ungodly emotions, ungodly thoughts, ungodly moods, ungodly feelings, whatever, I got to stay away from it. I got to avoid it. And that's another evidence that music is not neutral. Because if there was no need for a change in the character or quality of music after salvation, then it wouldn't really matter what music I listened to before after I was saved. But there's a new song. We have a new song that God has given to us, and we need to focus on that. Back in Psalm chapter 40, verse 3, he hath put a new song in my mouth, even praise unto our God. Many shall see it and fear, and shall trust in the Lord. With our new song, what happens? People are drawn to us? No. People are drawn to the Lord. People's focus comes through to the Lord. We're the channel. We help others see Christ through our new song. So as we go through this week, and we think of all the works that God has done in our lives, let's lift up our hearts in song and praise the Lord for what he's done. As we listen to music, let's listen to music that honors God, praises him. It makes us glorify him. Let's pray. Father, we thank you that you have lifted us out of a horrible pit. Out of the miry clay, you have set our feet upon a rock. You have established our going. We thank you that you have given us a new song, a song of praise to our God. And Father, I pray that many will see it and fear you and trust in you. Father, encourage our heart with these things tonight. Help us to go from this place with a desire to point others to you. Have a testimony of praise and what you are doing in our life, and be able to share with them what you can do in their life as well. In Jesus' name, amen.